Welcome to the Reminger Report podcast on emerging technologies. Reminger Co. LPA is a full-service law firm with over 150 lawyers spread across 14 offices and serving states throughout the Midwest. My name is Zach Pyers, and I'm a partner in Reminger's Columbus, Ohio office.
And I'm Kenton Steele, an associate in Reminger's Columbus office.
This podcast on emerging technologies will examine how changes in technology and business models affect our daily lives and how the law is adapting to respond to these changes.
Welcome to this special edition of the Reminger Report podcast on emerging technologies. We're excited today to have one of our special guests joining us. His name is Michael Urban. He is with Rimkus Consulting Group. And today we're going to be discussing autonomous vehicles and some of the aspects of autonomous vehicles kind of that fall within Mike's specialty. Mike, as we kind of dive into this topic, if you would, tell us who you are. Give us a little bit of background about yourself and kind of explain how you ended up kind of in this autonomous vehicle space.
Sure. Thanks, Zach. I started my life as an automotive engineer out of school and did that for about 10 years. After that, I moved on to forensic engineering with Rimkus Consulting Group, and I've been here ever since. And back in about 2016, I moved from Florida back to closer to home over here in Detroit, and had an opportunity where we had to kind of look into autonomous vehicles and how they're going to relate to our industry. So a lot of it was research and reading initially, as new information's coming out daily. I'm currently a member of the SAE On-Road Autonomous Driving Group, and I'm currently taking a master's with Kettering University for Computer and Electrical Engineering for Advanced Mobility, essentially just the nugget of autonomous vehicles. Additionally, I have SAE classes for LiDAR cameras and AEB systems to get a further understanding of how these things work. As a reconstruction, accident reconstructionist, we have to address autonomy and levels of autonomy for two reasons. First off, to understand how these systems work and how they're going to affect our industries. AEB systems have been told, depending on who you read, they're going to reduce the frequency and severity of rear-end collisions by either 40 to 80%, depending on who you read. And then secondly, just knowing the limitations of these systems and when they are being used outside of what's referred to as their operational design domain, essentially the bubble within which they operate.
I wanted to just hit on a couple of the acronyms you mentioned. The first one is SAE, and I know what that means because I'm familiar with the space, but I just want to make sure that our listeners do. You're referencing when you talk about the various levels, some of the various training, the Society of Automotive Engineers, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And my understanding is the SAE, the Society of Automotive Engineers, does a fair amount of work in this space to help to define kind of the various levels and some of the parameters as it relates to the autonomous features in these vehicles.
Correct. Not only do they have their classification of the six different levels of autonomy going from 0 to 5, but they also offer classes on various components and technologies within that domain of the levels of autonomy or ADAS, which is Advanced Driving Assistance Systems, which is what we see on the vehicles today.
Yeah. And one of the other acronyms you mentioned, and the ABS, the automatic brake, is that the automatic braking systems?
Yeah, the AEB is the automatic emergency braking system.
Okay. This is one of those industries and one of those fields, because there are so many variations to, the language. When we talk about, the adaptive cruise controls, and we talk about the braking systems, and we talk about the various lane keep or lane watch or lane, we've got a tendency, and I've seen it in both in the literature, and I mean, people who have listened to this podcast before know that I am not by any stretch of the imagination, an engineer, but know that there's a lot of acronyms to get thrown out. So I just wanted to make sure that we kind of clarified some of those. Now,
yeah, and a lot of the acronyms as well. And that's one of the things that SAE is trying to wrap their hands around, is get some commonality between the different OEMs, because what one might call a lane keep assist, would the other one may call it a lane centering assist, and another one is an auto steer. And those can be either very much alike or completely different systems, depending on the level of what they need to do and what those systems are attempting to do. So that there's a lot of confusion. I've even dealt with it myself, looking at one of the OEMs, one of their systems, and they have three different versions of it. And after watching a video, I'm not even sure which one of the three makes sense. So,
you know, it's interesting too. I mean, and I'm not, now we're diving into probably some areas that, I mean, we're a little probably maybe off topic, but I've got to imagine it's difficult. I know, at least from the consumer side, I mean, I purchased a car, it was probably about 18 months ago, and I was comparing the various systems, because I'm, for people who have listened, they know that, I think autonomous vehicles and a lot of these features are really neat and interesting, and I want them. And so I'm one of these people who can't wait to have a fully autonomous vehicle. I know a lot of people are hesitant, but when I start to compare across the brands, I think your point is well taken. It's really sometimes difficult because you're not always comparing apples to apples when you're looking at the different brands as to what features they actually offer versus what they call their features. You know, and we see, for example, I mean, and I'm just thinking of three of this level 2+ autonomy that's being offered in Cadillac or the GMs versus Ford versus Tesla, where Tesla calls it autopilot, Ford calls it Blue Cruise, and GM/Cadillac calls it Super Cruise. But it's roughly the same. I mean, it's roughly the same principle, but yet it's called three different things. And depending upon who's listening or who's reading into this, you may be thinking it does things it does or it does not do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the developments you've seen in the autonomous vehicle space during your time kind of working, you know, with these systems.
Well, initially, these really all started from being just a glint in an engineer's eye to a reality whose only debate is not so much if it'll be implemented, I think, but it'll be more along the lines of when will it be implemented. I know there's a variety of people giving dates from, you know, you'll have leaders like Elon Musk will say, yeah, in about 2 years, to, you know, other people who are saying, yeah, we're still 15 to 20 years out from some of these. But we have gone from a standard dumb vehicle to ones that are now equipped with cameras, radar, and LiDAR, ultrasound, that can actually see around the vehicle. Now, and these systems are now no longer being just sold as pure safety systems, such as the AEB, the automatic emergency braking system, but they're also now comfort settings like advanced cruise control and lane centering. So now you have it where your vehicle is in certain situations technically driving itself, granted behind the eye of a human driver, but it is still doing it on its own. So what was once a novel idea and what we found in only one or two vehicles at one point in time, we're now actually seeing is more commonplace and becoming a standard equipment.
Now, and I think you kind of at least alluded to this fact about the fact that there's various predictions as to when we'll reach what levels of autonomy. I always, you know, think back to about 5-6 years ago when everyone was predicting 2020 was the magical year that there would be autonomous vehicles. And I've gone back through some of the literature and read those predictions and now kind of chuckle because I'm going to remember 2020 for a lot of things, but I will not remember it for the year that autonomous vehicles, fully autonomous vehicles made it on the road. And so as you know, you being in the industry and much closer to this, you know, than I am, what changes do you kind of predict seeing in the future? And do you have a time frame as to when you think we might just start to see these type of advances?
Well, what we're seeing development on two different fronts. First, you've got the OEMs like Ford, GM, Toyota, Chrysler, that group. And then you've got Silicon Valley companies. The OEMs are introducing more tech in their vehicles every year and expanding it across the fleet. So this is what you see when, you know, AEB becomes standard across all Ford vehicles, and they're starting to incorporate their Blue Cruise across more of their luxury line, and then probably down into their middle grade line. But again, they're kind of slowly increasing the amount of technology that's put in there. So conceivably, they're making a slow progression towards full autonomy. Currently producing level two vehicles, and the big question that's currently now is, will there ever be a level three? Even though there is currently one in Europe. Whereas now you have the Silicon Valley types, their mentality is more, we're just going to build a better robot. And when we're done, we're just going to take all the hardware and software and just dump it into a vehicle and call it done. So they don't really seem to have much of an interest in slow playing the tech or starting with a level two or a level three. They're looking more at moving directly to a level four and level five vehicle.
Do you have any sort of prediction? And I'm not going to hold you to this, but I mean, when we look at the two models, and maybe it's harder with when we look at the Silicon Valley types, but do you have any sort of prediction as it relates to either the OEMs or the Silicon Valley types, or even when we might get a level three in the United States?
The level three in the United States is more tied up in regulation than anything else. There are some states where you would actually be able to drive a level three, and there are others where you cannot. The problem is you can't regulate. You can't sell a vehicle to somebody in Michigan and tell them, whatever you do, don't drive in New York. You know, so you can't regulate that. Which is my understanding for why that the level three, and that it's an Audi A8, I believe, that was being sold in Europe, is the only level three I'm aware of. In terms of time frame, it's hard to say. There are fully autonomous vehicles on the road right now, not just in testing, but in implementation. The difference is they're like little shuttle buses, that go on a very constrained environment, very low speed. You know, they usually don't max out past 25 miles per hour. Think of them more as a shuttle bus of sorts, getting you from a train station to a bus depot or some other, you know, a downtown district. So we do have those on, available now. When will we have, you know, the full fledged, I'm going to go to my Ford dealership and pick up a full autonomous vehicle. I still see that as years away. We're still looking at, you know, first off, they need to prove the level twos capabilities and need to expand on that and see how, you know, and expand on the development of the system, the software. And unfortunately, one of the other things that's probably going to drag this down would be the infrastructure. Having properly painted roads and communication systems set up for autonomous vehicles would be a necessity.
I think some of that infrastructure is sometimes overlooked that you're alluding to. I think sometimes if we build the cars, then we're good. But I think they sometimes forget that the infrastructure, the communications, painted roads, I mean, those type of things are necessary. I mean, I know even from operating a vehicle that has lane keep assistance that it doesn't work as well on unmarked roads. And so those lane lines are really kind of crucial even when operating, a car that's not fully autonomous, but certainly has some autonomy-like features in it. And so those back roads still don't, I mean, still don't fully work. That will conclude the first segment of our discussion with Michael Urban of Rimkus Consulting regarding autonomous vehicles. Join us back next time as we continue this conversation.